And are we going to just zone in on a little section of Acts chapter 20? So, yeah, I referred to the riot at the end of chapter 19. And just before we get there, you know, verse 1 of Acts chapter 20, after the uproar ceased, there's four words that any of us that are going through some difficult times at the minute, after the uproar ceased, isn't it good to know that things do cease? You know, when we walk in him, this too shall pass. That's just an encouragement, maybe just for me, maybe for me and my wife, but those four words, there's so much power there, isn't it? After the uproar ceased, when we're walking in his ways, you know, the reason that Paul could keep on going, I can sometimes think, goodness me, that's just too much. That's too much. But we've seen how God is faithful. We've seen how God has got him out of there. And even a few chapters back, he even gives him a dream and says, do not be anxious. He tells him specifically, because it's understandable to be anxious, you know, that you're going to get beaten. And he even told him, you weren't going to get beaten in this situation. God knows how much we can bear. Jesus said that, isn't it? You know, you'll not test us beyond. He knows our limitations, and it can be tough. We can lean on him. But after the uproar ceased, and then we see him moving to Greece, we see him, there's that famous story, chapter 7, verse 7 to 14, Eutychus raised from the dead, isn't it? It's all like Bible study. Let's be honest, if you knew Paul was coming to town and he's on his way through, it might be the last time you get to hear him. You're going to go and hear that, isn't it? And clearly he knows, because we'll see that later on, he knows he's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows he's not coming back. I don't think he tells that to the guys at Troas. He says that to the guys in Ephesus. That's the bit we're coming on to. Paul knows he's not coming again. And if you know you're not coming back again, you can see he's up till midnight. You know, first day of the week, this is the working day. You know, after they've broken bread together, verse 7, they'd already started meeting on what is now our Sunday. That's how our whole society is built around this stuff, even though we're a largely godless society. Sunday is the first day of the week, isn't it? And some calendars still have it that way. So a working day, a midnight Bible study, I'd love to have been there. Now, there's a teenager there that falls asleep, falls down, dies. He goes down, raises him, and carries on. Do you mean? I don't suspect he fell asleep again, ever, in any meeting. And he probably never sat by a window opening ever again in his life. So we see him now, verse 17. So this is the section we're going to just take a little bit of time just to drill into a little bit. So verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when he came to them, he said to them, and go read Ephesus, go look back, because this is his third missionary journey. He's actually going to some of the places he's already been to. So there's a different emphasis. There's an emphasis on encouragement. The jailer, isn't it? That incredible story where they don't escape and the whole family is changed. And even when you look at these books, you think, wow, that guy would read that letter. How encouraged would he be to hear these things? So he's back in Ephesus. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. Just want to stop there. How I did not shrink from declaring to you. I've already said, you're not called to be Paul. Hallelujah, some of us say. But we are all called to be salt and light. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light. You know, nobody lights a bonfire. Nobody does a fireworks display in a cupboard, isn't it? We are called to live this life. And many of us, you know, we need to grow in that, not in being weird when our colleagues, friends, or family, but in just being sensitive to the Spirit's leading and making opportunities to naturally share, and sometimes just to step out. And it is very uncomfortable the first time you offer somebody to pray for them. I'm not in the polite, I'll pray for you. I actually want to pray for you now, if that's okay. I can't think of anyone that's vehemently said no. But as you do those things, it becomes easier. And it's that stepping out. And we can be encouraged from Paul's boldness. You're not Paul, but we are still called to be salt and light, to
to actually be a little bit, you know, sticking our head neck out and having a go. And because he didn't shrink back. We certainly,
that is definitely an understatement for a Paul, isn't it? When we think he didn't shrink back, when we think about the cycle and the things. And again, this Acts story is about 30 years of church life. This is already kind of AD 46, 48. We're already in the third journey.
This is what we're looking at. I did not shrink back from declaring anything that was profitable in teaching in public and from house to house, testifying to Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
So if you want to know what we need to be talking about, hey, it's important to be able to have answers, to be able to engage with the questions of the day, the big questions, and we can learn those skills. That's called apologetics. But at the heart of what we want to be communicating, we can learn from this. It's teaching people about repentance, that actually our way is not working. There is a problem in our life. It's called sin. There's no way around it. You can't go to church and sort it out. No, no. We have to go to Jesus. We have to go to the foot of the cross for him to sort us out.
That's repentance, turning away, isn't it? We all know and you've heard many messages on this. But the simplicity of when he summarizes it, repentance towards God, and then faith,
that's the action, stepping out.
Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, lordship, that's me being a disciple.
That's not the bolt-on, that's he becomes everything. How does that work? What does kingdom look like? How does it trickle down into every area? Verse 22,
and now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction awaits me. So he says, I know that I'm in for a hard time. But God has graced him for that.
We don't need to be fearful. You know, we can sometimes look at the things that happen to other people's lives and we can be fearful and think, how would I deal with that? But I don't need the grace for that situation. You know, God's grace is sufficient for our situation. And we all need different measures of grace for different things. But he knows from his track record, from what God called him to be, he knows, he's basically saying, I'm off to Jerusalem and I'm pretty sure it's not going to end well. In some senses, I know that it's going to be difficult. But of course, we know that all things work together and we know that God is sovereign. It's not, Jesus dying on the cross is not defeat, it's victory. Paul dying eventually is not defeat, it's victory. We are benefiting, even right now, from his words.
Verse 24, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. He really has understood lordship. He's taken up his cross. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus.
Wow. That's what we all want on our tombstone, isn't it? Have Chris run his race? What have I run my race? Have I fulfilled the purposes of God in my generation? That's all he wants. That's his passion. We see that in his other verses, isn't it? Running the race.
Behold, I know that none of you among you have gone about proclaiming the kingdom.
What did he teach? He didn't teach salvation. Didn't teach the sinner's prayer. He didn't say come to a meeting or an event. He taught the kingdom, just as Jesus taught the kingdom. Salvation is the doorway. Greatest day in history. Kingdom is how it affects all of our lives.
People that have taught the kingdom, I know, are not going to see you face to face again.
So imagine hearing this. Imagine you were that Ephesian church and he's telling you, I'm off to Jerusalem. I trust God. I know that trials and tribulations await me, but I know I'm not going to see you again. That's very poignant. That's very powerful. Then I think it's important to listen carefully and I trust that God speaks to you. It's not Chris's voice. I trust that the Holy Spirit does what he does through preaching, speaks to people through his word. As we go through this, that there's something in here, as Paul in his last words, the people that are precious to him, that he's not going to see again, might be for you and for me.
That I will not see you face to face again. Verse 26, therefore I testify to this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God, the whole gospel. Sometimes we reduce the gospel. Verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Jesus is church. I often say, I'm not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. In the kingdom of God, you will never be more than a deputy. Verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That's an encouragement and a warning, isn't it? That be careful about wolves coming from the outside, but even from within. Sometimes there's opposition from without and opposition from within. And drawing away disciples, that word disciple again. Verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Sanctified is this process of becoming like, isn't it? We've just had communion. Holiness. You are holy, but you're also becoming holy. We are saved, but we are being saved. There's this process. You never graduate as a disciple. You never graduate from the school of servanthood. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. It is more blessed to give than receive. I love the quote attributed to Churchill. The measure of a man is not how much he gets, it's how much he gives. That's a great quote, isn't it? If you apply that to my life, am I someone that has given more than I've got? In my attitude, in my life, in my finance, in my heart when it comes to home group or church, is my heart to get or is it to give? And it is so liberating, isn't it? It makes such a difference. It's why it's so exciting to give gifts to people, isn't it, than to receive. We love to bless. There's something that God has put inside us about the giving. It is more blessed to give than receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorry for most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Powerful, poignant, heartbreaking, but purposeful. God's purposes, he recognizes, are bigger. He didn't stay there. He clearly loved these guys. He was there for 3 years. That is a long time in Paul's world. He could have said, I've done well. It's time to retire. It's my third missionary journey. I've gone through a lot of stuff. Do you know what? I like it here. I like you lot. I'll stay here. But no, he was set to finish his course. He was set to run that race. And I think, you know, just this is simple stuff, but life-changing stuff if it goes from here and into here, into my heart. Because if it goes into my heart, it's going to work its way out into my actions, into who I am. Simple, simple stuff. So be encouraged that if you're going through a riot or if there's curveballs coming at you all over the place, God is bigger than that. This too will pass. It will cease. Joseph, you know, what you meant for evil, God has used for good. You know, all those difficult things that have had to Paul have caused him to move on, to move on, to move on. You know, even those books of Romans I've taught would not have been written if he wasn't in the place before last. You know, there's a reason that he goes to these places. We wouldn't have these things if he hadn't gone to those places. God is sovereign. He's got the bigger picture. Be encouraged. And yeah, for all of us, you know, where am I in my boldness? Not being weird, but Holy Spirit, how can I be salt and light? I know I say the same things because Paul said the same things and Jesus said the same things. The things don't change. It's, Lord, help me get a victory in this little area of my life and in that little area and in this relationship. And
when I meet that person, how do I talk? What do I talk about? What's important to me? And am I someone that when you look at my life, you would say, you know, he fulfilled the purposes, what God called him to. She fulfilled the purposes. This is someone who gave more than she took. This is someone who what they've gave has multiplied the impact that they've had. Are you someone that people would cry and weep if you left? Maybe tears of joy, maybe tears of sorrow. But you just see the heart, you see the tenderness, which sometimes we can lose when we get so stuck into words and theology. But you know, let's just go back to Jesus's words, the simplicity, isn't it? You are the salt, you are light, a city on a hill, you know, it's not hidden. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a folder, under a cup. And it's the same for all of us. And let's just close in prayer, and we'll finish with that song that Christy introduced to us a number of months ago as well. And there's that power in his name, and there's that confidence. Even though it's sad when we look at this and we think, oh, that's so sad. He's saying goodbye to people he loves and friends. But we know that God is bigger. We know that the story is not over yet. Acts does not finish at chapter 20. The Bible doesn't stop at Acts chapter 20. We are here because people have moved on. The Holy Spirit does. We were looking at that in our Forge training. He brings disruption. Disruption is uncomfortable. But am I up for a little bit of discomfort if it means that I get to walk in those things that God has? So thank you, Father God, for your word. And I just pray for each of us right now that something would stand out for us wherever we are, Father God, whether we feel like there's a revival in our lives, or maybe we're in some difficulties. Maybe there's riots and difficulties around us. We thank you that we can trust you, that you are a good God. But we thank you that it is not rocket science, this, what you've done for us, that you are the answer. And even though there's so many voices and we can even confuse ourselves, we just want to say, would you be Lord? We want to get back to the basics. We want to get back to the power that's in your name. We want to walk in that, and that power is in your name and in nothing else in our life. And even as this song ministers to us, Lord, would you just encourage us about that, that we can trust in it? You've got our lives that none of us is called to be Paul, but each one of us is called to be us. And you want us to be, and you've enabled us by your spirit, by what you've done, to be the best us. And we might not be able to change what we did yesterday. Time only goes one direction. But Lord, we really do want to recommit. We really want to walk like Paul. We want to have this incredible humility, this incredible desire to do everything to proclaim your name, to proclaim your kingdom, to build a church. We want to be people that build the church, people that build people up, not tear people down. We want to be people that raise disciple-making disciples for a world out there and a generation out there that does not know you at all and are so distracted by so many noises and so many devices. Lord, would you help us to raise disciple-making disciples, that we would be salt and light wherever we find ourselves, even today, in Jesus' name.